Welcome to Surviving Society. This week, I was joined by Catherine Egerland and Dr. Crystal Martin. Catherine and Crystal had limited time, so we had to get straight into our conversation. With this, I'm going to give you a little bit of an introduction to Catherine and Crystal's work and why they're in the UK just before you hear the main episode. So first of all, I was in conversation with Catherine Egerland. Kathy is a resident of Gulfport, Mississippi. She's co-founder of the EECHO, a Gulf Coast grassroots coalition of diverse educational, economic, health, environmental justice, climate justice, religious and policy advocates working to build better communities. She provides leadership development of the organisation's environmental and climate justice policies. Her committee is in charge of raising awareness of environmental and climate issues from the standpoints of civil rights, social justice and equity. She is chair of the Environmental and Climate Justice Committee for the National Board of Directors of the NAACP, which of course is the National Association of the Advancement of Coloured People. I was also in conversation with Dr. Crystal Martin. Crystal Martin was raised in the community of Gloucester, Mississippi, and considers Amity County home. Her mum still lives there, and she describes how everyone in the town is related. She has intimate knowledge of the politics in Gloucester and the community's need. Kathy and Crystal's visit is part of the ever-expanding global activist connections organising against the climate emergency. This trip was especially focused on making connections with the locals here in Selby in the UK to highlight and draw comparisons to the impact of Drax power stations' biomass burning on predominantly communities of colour in the southern US states. Drax power plant in Selby converted from burning coal to burning wood and receives millions of pounds in subsidies which come out of our energy bills and which are supposed to subsidise genuinely renewable energy. Drax gets away with this via a carbon accounting loophole, which means burning wood is classed as carbon neutral. In fact, Drax is the UK's biggest carbon emitter and the world's largest tree burner. Drax sources wood from overseas, which is driving forest deconstruction around the world. Most of the wood Drax burns is from the southern US, where the pellet mills are causing health problems for predominantly communities of colour and low-income communities. It also sources a large proportion of its wood from Estonia and Latvia, where it's driving intensive clear-cutting in protected forests, and Canada, where a BBC Panorama investigation has found that Drax is logging primary forests that have never been cut before. Wherever it sources its wood, animals, wildfire and biodiversity are harmed. I hope you enjoy this incredibly informative conversation with these brilliant, brilliant activists. Welcome to Surviving Society,
a political podcast
exploring the local and global politics of race and class
from a sociological perspective.
In conversation with
academics and activists,
researchers and artists,
we platform discussions between knowledge sharers,
creatives and intellectuals,
and change makers.
Our mission is clear:
political education for the masses,
grounded in history,
theory and practice.
Enjoy the episode
and please do share with your networks.
You are such amazing powerhouse women. Honestly, it's so incredible to be sat with you today, reading out those bios. Everything you've done, everything that you campaign for is just so incredible. And I think a key thing that our listeners will be really interested in is why you're here this week. And you're here this week, as you've said, and as I've read out in this bio, as part of making local and global connections to the impact of Drax. And I guess it would be good for our listeners to find out a bit about those kind of local and global connections that you've been making this week and where they sort of come from.
Absolutely. I do know that I've been through this area. I was here back in for COP27 in Glasgow, and I was seeing these commercials where there were claims being made that waste wood was being used for wood pellets, and that simply was not true. And so I felt like the British people and British government needed to know what was happening on the other side of the Atlantic as it relates to the wood pellets production process in the U.S., especially the Southeast U.S.
And for me, it's been amazing just to come from the Gloucester community, to be a voice, just to be able to amplify the voices of those from the community here, having the opportunity to speak with people from Stand.Earth and being able to just see how many supporters we have supporting the environmental injustice that we're dealing with in the Gloucester community. But what also has been really good is just being able to have the conversation today with Will Gardner regarding the issues we're dealing with in the Gloucester community.
Thank you so much for that. I mean, I think one of the things that'd be really good for our listeners to have an understanding of is a bit of myth busting around Drax. So what is it actually that they're doing, and how is it that they're getting away with it?
First of all, they're coming into the US and they, on their applications to be permitted, they claim to be a low source emitter. And the reason they do that is to skirt the US Clean Air Act. They will say that they're going to be emitting under the 250 tons limit. And the reason that they do that is because at the 250 ton limit, you will be required to have more control technology. It would be more oversight. And that's something that they don't want. That's why it's obvious that they are selecting states that are perceived to be and lacks environmental oversight. They're also going into states desperate for a need to have a boost in the economy, needing jobs. And so they're taking advantage of the desperation of people. They're actually exploiting poor communities and mostly communities of color in the Southeast U.S.
And again, for us in the Gloucester community, as Catherine said, they are coming into small, rural, underserved communities, claiming to provide jobs in those communities. But for my community, we have seen less than 5% or 2% of the people actually employed by Drax. So, yeah, that's not happening.
It's crazy that we're able to actually make those sort of racialized and class links. So they're exploiting the fact that people need to work, and then where they're working within organizations that are actually harming our health. Like, it's the mind boggles at how you're able to do that. The web is so strong in terms of its link to capitalism and health.
Definitely colonialism. And they will actually, anytime you bring up the vast amounts of pollution, the illegal levels of pollution, they will use jobs as a justification. You cannot use jobs as a justification for environmental racism. Jobs, a living wage should not have to kill or make people ill. And they're doing this under the claims or the guise of being climate friendly, of lowering emissions, when it is not carbon neutral, it's not renewable. They're saying it's renewable in the sense that you can plant trees. Well, you cannot plant trees to recapture the carbon at the same rate of the mature trees that are being cut and releasing carbon into the atmosphere. It would take scores of years and centuries to recapture that carbon, and we don't have that amount of time. We're in a climate emergency now.
One thing that I want to kind of pick up on is how we kind of bring people along with us with this kind of work. What I mean by that is here in the UK, and I know in the US as well, we do have a lack of jobs. We've got a cost of living crisis here, and these companies are able to exploit that fact. So when we're within our communities, when we're around people that have a material and health interest in stopping this from happening, how do we convince these people that actually we need to rally against them rather than accept what they're doing? What are the, other than it affecting you directly, like, this is really difficult stuff.
First of all, there are clean jobs. You know, we're going to always need energy, but we need clean energy. We need a just transition to renewables. We know what those renewable sources are, wind and solar. So instead of investing all of this money, investing all of these subsidies in failed, unproven, harmful technologies, we can invest into clean, safe, carbon-neutral, carbon-free renewable energy. So we do not have to choose between a clean environment, a stable climate, and a flourishing economy.
How is it that Drax, for example, are able to position themselves as carbon neutral?
Well, one thing they have, they will take the science out of context and use it to their advantage. It seems simple to say, we'll use these trees, but we can replant more trees. You know, it's plausible. It's just that it's not true. It's not entirely true. And they're not telling the truth. They are taking the science out of context. We did ask today in the annual general meeting, where's the proof? Show us where you have actually lowered emissions by using wood biomass. Because they cannot, they would never be able to show us the proof because it's not happening. They did not like the term trick math that's being used. Well, there is some type of math on paper, something that you're putting on paper. You can put anything you want on paper, but you're not fooling the atmosphere. You cannot trick the atmosphere. These emissions are still going into the atmosphere.
And could we just be as specific as possible around what is Drax actually doing to the health of these communities, both here in the UK and the US?
Well, I would say in Gloucester, we have, there's been air pollution for years, and a lot of the residents haven't known, you know, about this air pollution, but we have an increased rate of our elderly and our young people having breathing issues, asthma, people dying from lung cancer, upper respiratory issues, eyes burning, nose burning. So different health issues as a result of the air pollution that's been in the community. But now is how do we educate people and link those two together? So we have to provide that education so that people will understand that this pollution has been around a long time, right? We may not just be getting the side effects from that air pollution, but it is happening. A lot of people are dealing with asthma. You have a lot of young people, and it's unheard of in this community, dealing with developmental delays. I met a young girl, maybe about the age of 9, and she can't even talk. She talked like a toddler.
So this process is very toxic and very dangerous from beginning to end, very flammable. And so you can start with the cutting of the trees where you're releasing centuries of stored CO2 in the atmosphere. Now, our forests are the best defense against climate. They are natural carbon capture and sequestration. They do that naturally. So now we're listening at Drax. They want to take our best defense against climate, weaponize it against communities, and then they want more subsidies to have carbon capture sequestration technology, which is now you're putting another false climate myth on top of the one, the existing one that you have. And this process, not only are you releasing carbon into the atmosphere, but it's highly flammable. So at any point in the process, at every step of the process, the shredding, the drying, the manufacturing, you're releasing high levels of particulates, volatile organic compounds, carbon, formaldehyde. They're all type of dangerous chemicals that you're releasing into the atmosphere when you are manufacturing these wood pellets.
So is it as simple as the reason why they won't revert on what they're doing is solely related to capital and money?
Greed, absolutely, greed. With all the subsidies that Drax is getting, They would rather come into a community, lie on their application, say that they're going to be emitting 245 tons. That's about as close to 250 as you can get, knowing full well that they will be emitting beyond the 250 tons. But they don't have the moral fiber to do what's right. It shows you just how little they care about people, that they would rather come in, skirt provisions of the Clean Air Act, take their chances on polluting these communities, and they will keep doing it until they get caught. And then they're forced to do the right thing and install the best available control technology.
I opened my eyes to so many different things, even in this short conversation. But just for our listeners, where is the hope with this work? Obviously, clearly you guys sat here like making these local and global connections. This is proper anti-racist solidarity in action. But where else does the hope lie with this work?
I would say, especially in a community where the damage has already been done. And one of the things I said, health, you can't take back. People who've died, you can't bring them back. People that's suffering from asthma and respiratory issues, you can't undo that. Now it's like, how do we move forward? Number one, we still have to educate the people in this community, right? We have to do a lot of education, but we also have to make sure a community like Gloucester, if you know you've already done damage causing healthcare and we don't have a medical facility there, we don't have a local doctor, you may need to invest in making sure that we can get the health care that we need. So I don't know if I'm saying I'm hopeful, but I know as a community, and I've already made some calls to say, we got to do what we got to do. We have to take care of ourselves. And if Drax is not, and they have not, they've shown us they are not concerned about us. EPA, MDEQ has shown us that they are really not concerned about us. So as a community of people, we just got to stand up and do what we have to do. If that means we have to move forward with lawsuit or whatever, we got to do what we got to do. We have to take care of us because nobody else is showing us that they're concerned about our family's health care or health issues. They're not showing us they're concerned about the young people, the young children. So, you know, we may have to do what we have to do to take care of ourselves.
And also, they're committing crimes against humanity. There's no way to sugarcoat this. It's environmental racism. And this should be a criminal penalty. Falsifying reports and knowingly and willingly polluting communities just because you can, just because they're poor, just because they're black, and getting away with it, this is a crime. And rather than having these penalties, which don't even amount to a slap on the wrist, a $2.5 million fine is a day's profit. And they were fined $2.5 million for 8 years of pollution. That is absolutely ridiculous, and there should be criminal penalties involved. And I don't think things like this will stop until there are criminal penalties assessed. From my understanding, if they were doing this in the UK, it would be criminal. It is criminal wherever it is that they're doing it.
Catherine Eglin, Crystal Martin, thank you so much for talking to us today. You are incredible.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Surviving Society.
To support our work, you can rate,
review and subscribe. To host or produce a series of Surviving Society,
get in touch with us via Twitter or Instagram.